Proverbs chapter 24 tonight. We're going to get back in here to Proverbs 24. We've been working on these for a little while now. And so what I want us to remember tonight, and as we go through the book of Proverbs, what we're talking about is words of passing on wisdom is the title of our series. I've been working on this since I got here. Amen. You know, it's one day we'll do something different Wednesdays, but we got a lot of Proverbs left to do. Passing on wisdom. Solomon wanted to give wisdom to his son, and God wanted to use Solomon what he gave to his son. God wants to give it to his sons and daughters, his children. So we have that's preserved for us because there's words of wisdom. How to navigate this life, right? It's what we're talking about. How do we navigate this life? How do we navigate through the Christian life? Walking with the Lord. And so can I tell you, some of the things are not, some things of wisdom are logical. If I'd say that, some of the things of wisdom are like, duh. You know, you look at that, it's like, obviously. But some other things are so different from the old nature that we really need to see what the Word of God says. And sometimes it's not just that it's different the way we would think. It's different the way than we want to behave. And so Jesus said some things in the New Testament that we could sometimes think is different from the Old Testament. And I'm talking about the law and what he said, and he talks about grace. But in fact, what we're going to find tonight is God's plan has always been the same and how he wants us to behave and act. So we're going to look at that. I'm talking a lot in innuendo. I'm going to get right to it now, okay? Verse 8, chapter 24, and in verse 8. The Bible says, he that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is what? And the scorner is an abomination to men. So I want to start with number one, where sin begins. Where sin begins. So, under that, we now turn. Does everybody have it? Good. Everybody's got a handout? Does anybody not have a handout? Raise your hand up if you've got a handout. Okay. You didn't get a handout? Here's one right here. Joy? Can you? Nope, that's all right. I apologize. We didn't tell you about it. I usually do, and I forgot. Nope, that's okay. So we do Wednesday night have a handout. That way, it's different than Sunday. You know, I try to, at one time I thought, man, every service we come to, I just preach. So I try to make this a little more of a Bible study, a little bit different, but I end up preaching. So anyway, so the first one where sin begins is point number one. A, under that, we now turn to where evil begins in man. Listen to what I'm saying, where evil begins in man, and that is in our thoughts. Begins in our thoughts. That's the blank under that. Number one, the word we find in this verse he talks about is this word that says deviseth. Deviseth. So under that, it's to think about. The word deviseth means it's to think about, plan on, and calculate. So what it's talking about is that we come to this kind of place that what he's talking about this thing here is that we devise as we think about. Watch here. It's not what we're doing yet. We're going to get there. It's what we're thinking about and what we kind of plan on and what we'll even make some calculations about it. You ever, I don't know if you're like this, but if I'm going to do a project, if I'm going to build something, like I was going to build, we built some outside showers at our house. Right? Some of y'all been there, you know. I planned on that for probably 6 months. Thinking through it, walking it out. I walked it out. I dug holes. We were tripping on those holes for months. And so, I just, what I do. And before I bought a stick of wood, I planned it out. I thought, calculate. And I was sitting there sometimes in my chair and I think, I wonder if we could do it. I changed the plan about three or four times. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying what I did is I calculated in my mind. Right? Before there was anything done. As a matter of fact, my family was like, yeah, it ain't ever going to get done. They said that too. Terrible people. They didn't say that till afterwards. And when I started doing it, they're like, wow, you're actually going to do it? Because sometimes what I do is I think through something. I realize this is a really bad idea or it's too much work for me. And I'm like, I'm in over my head. And so I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. My wife one time said, we had this house in Louisiana. She said, why don't you just cut a hole in this? We got this window here. Why don't you just cut a hole in there and we'll put a sliding glass door? I'm like, are you crazy? Cut a hole in our wall to put it in it perfectly? Anyway, we ended up doing it. But what I'm trying to get to, this thought of how we'll calculate things in our mind. Now, that's maybe positive, but there's other things. I'm talking about this thing to plan on and to think about and devise. But what we're talking about is evil thoughts. Okay, two under that. It can give us the idea, and here's what we're getting at in this proverb, of a person that takes pleasure in this course of thinking. And we're talking about it takes pleasure in this course. Maybe one that would devise evil as a pastime. Okay, that's just saying that sounds weird. Who would do that? Who would just sit there and think about evil they want to do to somebody as a pastime? It's thinking about how harm would come to another person. I mean, imagine somebody just sitting around. What kind of person, what kind of emotion do you think would be in somebody that wants to sit around and think about the harm to someone else? An angry person. Maybe a hurt person. Angry, somebody that's hurt. Maybe there's probably a lot of other things too, but I think about something, but imagine somebody that just wants to sit around and think about, and they're devising, and maybe they just look at somebody and just, you ever seen that, you know, that fake smile? And you wonder what is going on behind that? You know what I mean? People like that, they just, you ever have people that just stare at you like there's no real expression, they're just staring, they creep me out, you know what I'm saying? They could be, they're just, you don't know what's there. It's like a blank face, but they're just, you're like, all right, I'm not going to cross them. But we're talking about something, this kind of, be it says under there, this one shall be called a mischievous person. That's what the Bible says. We're going to call them they shall be called a mischievous person. So mischievous, right? We think of that word as kind of, you're a little naughty, right? We kind of think of that as kind of less, don't we? Now, they're not bad, they're just mischievous, right? But can I tell you, what God's talking about, when the Word of God talks about is mischievous here, doesn't mean somebody that's just a little naughty. Has a whole lot of different, a whole lot more to it. But I want you to think about this under that. Number one, they didn't actually do anything yet. No. They didn't do anything. I mean, here's the fact of the matter. Other people don't even know what they've thought about in their own heart. You look at this person over here. I'm just saying this person over here. You look at Joe. She looks sweet, innocent. She's got a smile. She always smiles. And something's going on in her heart. And God said, that's a mischievous person. And the rest of us are thinking, nah, she's just a little ornery, right? She's just a little bit. But God says, I'm not talking about her, I'm just using her as an example. But God has already determined, God's already said that's a mischievous person before we even know what's going on in the heart. He's already set that. I mean, we don't know. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. We don't know what's going on in there, but God said they're already there. So number two, God doesn't only consider, watch this, what I'm saying. God doesn't only consider the action, that's the blank there. God doesn't only consider the action to be of evil, to be sinful, but even the thoughts. Good night. I thought I was doing pretty good because I didn't do what I wanted to do to them. Right? You know what I'm saying? Y'all are like, I know what you're saying. But listen, even before these thoughts, even before these thoughts have become action, it is already a sin in God's sight. Wow. As a matter of fact, B, it doesn't even matter, watch this, whether or not we actually intend to act upon it. It's already sin. So we might use some excuse like this. I was just kidding, right? We sometimes think "I was just kidding" is a phrase that covers a multitude of sins, but can I tell you it doesn't? I mean, based on the Word of God. Or we'll say something, "Well, I was never going to do it." Right? It was just in my head. I was just thinking about it. Listen, maybe say something, "I would never do anything like that for real." Can I say this to you right here, folks? That phrase doesn't change God's viewpoint on it. He said, if it's up here, it's sin. We thought on it. It kind of makes it tough, doesn't it? Right? And this is where, when Jesus talks about this in the New Testament, he says, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you've thought on someone to kill them, you've done it already." He said, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you've thought on a woman to lust after, you've done it already." And God said, it's sin when it's in our thoughts already. He says, "You're already there." Well, what if I never do it? There's your answer. Well, what if I here's the scenario. What if I think about something but I never do it? Is it sin? Well, maybe. We don't have to say maybe. We see right here, he kind of really makes it very clear to us. When he says this is sin, it kind of leaves out the guesswork, doesn't it? Right? Look at number two. The power of sin. So under that, think of the devising, or he that deviseth of evil, as the power of sin. I want you to think of it as the power of sin. So number one, there are many passages of Scripture which demonstrate this truth to us. But right across the page, we're just going to look at one of them here that demonstrate this. Chapter 23 and verse 7. And he says it this way, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, the power of sin begins where we begin thinking on these things. It empowers us. If we think of the action as the principal thing, we think of the thoughts as that which gives it power to drive it there. And so, look here, A under that. We are not just what we do, we are what we think. So, what it means is this. Our personality, our character, we'd say, isn't just based off the things that we do. And what I mean by that is, you ever seen somebody like, "Yeah, they're a really nice person." But when you're saying they're a really nice person, you're not really even sure how to quantify that. You know what you're really saying? They haven't done anything bad. Right? We always got a case in point here. Just a little bit ago, I said, "Dave, how's your week?" So he said, it's been awesome or fabulous or outstanding. I said, "What makes it outstanding?" He said, "Well, nothing bad happened." I just thought about that. This is sometimes how we do things, isn't it? Well, there's nothing bad that took place. By the way, it's talking about this illustration. This is how sometimes we think. There's nothing bad there, but just, you ever had somebody like, there's just something about them. I don't know what it is. Well, why don't you like them? I don't know. See, because here's what happens, folks. We aren't just what we do. We're also what we think. What we think begins to develop into who we become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We become that. You say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? In that sense, obviously it was the chicken. God created animals. He didn't create eggs. But what I'm saying is, what's the cycle? What's the cause and effect? Right? Does one cause the other? It becomes this circular thing. We begin thinking like that and it affects us, and so that we become that kind of person that thinks more like that. So number two is this. Being mischievous is not just being ornery. It is sin. Okay? It is sin, is what the Scripture tells us. A, we may think and even say that they have... Stop it. Okay. We may think, we may even say about people that they may have an active imagination. No, they just have an active imagination. Even to the point, watch this, I've heard this stuff said, even to the point of thinking that active imagination is healthy. That's the blank. I've heard, well, it's just, you know, they're good. They just got an active imagination when they're saying evil, wicked thoughts. And you get this little, you know, little 3 or 4 year old saying, I just want to hurt them. No, they're just thinking through. No. No, it's, can a 3 or 4 year old sin? Oh, you better believe that. 1 to 2 year old can. I've seen them. I've watched them. So, here's the thing. We can begin to think, well, they're just thinking through some things. I'm telling you, folks. By the way, I'm not talking about kids. I'm not talking about other people. Really, I want to get back to us. Because we've all been there, right? We've all been on this thing right here. We've thought about somebody and you kind of, in your head and in your heart, you don't even want to tell anybody that I kind of really like bad stuff to happen to them because I don't like them. I mean, if, you know, we'd say, if God struck them dead, I wouldn't be mad. We'd say stuff like that, trying to be a little bit funny and ornery. And we've actually begun to calculate it, how it would go down. Maybe if somebody just, you know what I'm saying? We kind of go through these things. And I'm being a little bit funny on it because I try to keep you all with me. But I'm telling you that God said, listen, it's not just mischievous. It's not just ornery. It is sin. It's not healthy imagination. It's sin. B, it may seem like nothing to us, but God counts the power of sin in our thoughts. God counts the power of sin in our thoughts as an act. You hear what I'm saying? That's the blank there, B. God considers what we think an action. Okay? You say, well, it's not really an action. No, God considers that we've actively thought through this thing. Now, you ever had something just pop into your mind? Right? Like, man, where does that come from? You're like, man, I don't want to think about that. And right away you push it out. That's not the sin. The sin is when it pops in your mind and you kind of just kind of invite it in a little longer. You know what I'm saying? He considers that an act and he holds us responsible for it. I want you to keep your place here with one of these stringy things or something. Go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to see this and the Lord deals with he speaks about this thing and very, very clearly for us to kind of see this thing of accountability and responsibility. In chapter 9, Matthew verse 2, and he says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. In verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said, where? Within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? I'm saying, listen, God says right there, nobody knew it. Of course, the Lord does. It's a little scary, right? It's a little bit disheartening, and I don't know if that's the right word, but it's a little bit really the fact that God, He knows what we're thinking. But God holds us responsible for what we even think. Look at number 3. Let's get to this one. It will not stay where it begins. It will not stay where it begins. Go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs 24, verse 9. He says this, the thought of foolishness is sin. Again, we get this very clear. The thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. So, A, one of the first outflows of devising of evil within is scoffing. It's the word. That's the blank under A. It's scoffing. It's what we find there in this verse. So, number one, it often begins with a type of scoffing, which is, it begins with mocking. So, scoffing is going against somebody, putting down what they're saying, this thing, but mocking his truth. So often where the scoffing begins in this thing is even mocking this truth that we're talking about. I don't think it's that big a deal. This is a lot of time where the deviser of evil, the one that thinks on even and harbors evil and plans on it, also says, I don't think it's that big a deal, because if we thought it was a big deal, what would we do with it? We'd stop it. We'd change it. We'd quit doing it. If we thought it was as big a deal as God says it is, we would make some change. This is why people make change, folks. You know what I'm saying? This is why Christians, this is why believers change. Like, man, you're not what you used to be. Exactly. Because God showed me something. And when God showed me something, I realized I was wrong on it and God was right. I realized, okay, God says, you know what? I wasn't going up this morning. Folks, am I saying we're going to be perfect? You're like, am I being set up? No, we're not going to be perfect. Folks, listen, I say this so often. We're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about getting better to be more like Christ. Okay? It's meant for this thing to say, God to show us, hey, listen, this is how you're living, and this is still the old man. This is the nature of sin, nature of Satan. I want you to see that there's something more than this, and there's a better life. We're like, man, I kind of like thinking bad thoughts. God says, well, you think that's a better life. You think you enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to enjoy life so much better when that garbage is out of your head. I'm telling you. It begins with mocking this truth. Because we say stuff like this. I don't think it's that big a deal. It doesn't really matter as long as you don't do the thing. This is how we justify that. We'll say something like this. It's not cheating if you don't get... See how we say stuff like that? And it's just... I know we say it to be funny and stuff like that. I'm not saying never make another joke. Don't misunderstand what I'm getting at, folks. Get the spirit of what we're talking about here. We're not talking about just being silly and, you know, sometimes I don't think you should be silly at all. Well, you know, there's silly things in the Bible. You know, we deal with this. There's a difference is when somebody is devising the harm for someone else. And we kind of dwell on that thing. A, under that. It's really this, when I'm talking about this thing of mocking his truth, it's to say what God says doesn't mean what he said. Right? That's what this is. That's what we get to. It says, well, what God says, I don't really think what he said is what he really said. Right? Now, I know he says this here, but I don't think it's really what he says or really what he'd say. I don't think it's really what he meant. I don't think God really never wants us to think anything bad. Man, I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't get much more clear than verse 9. The thoughts of foolishness is sin. I don't know that we get any clearer than that. So number two, the scorner now lets out of their lips what has been kept within the thoughts. Right? You see, this is where it will not stay where it begins. Now, we could keep it in the heart and in the mind for a while. We keep it there for a while. We could keep it at bay for a while. But eventually what happens is it gets out through the lips. And you ever said something like, I didn't mean to say that. Or we'll say this, did I just say that out loud? Right? You ever said that? You've heard other people say that. Amen? Heard other people say that. So what will happen is when we harbor those things, let it come around for a while, all of a sudden what happens is it comes out. It's going to come out. It's going to. We can't. None of us are good enough to do that all the time. So it's going to come out. There's much. Think about this. There is much more sin in the thoughts of the mischievous than what comes out of the lips. You understand? There's a lot more in the heart than what just came out of the lips. When we have a little bit comes out, well, it's just a little thing. They didn't really. So I'm saying, when you see a kid has an outburst to say something comes out and says, well, it wasn't that big a deal. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more inside. Right? And by the way, we know that about us too. Right? When we let a little bit out, and sometimes when you become like a volcano, something had to really explode. Now, okay, you got all of it out. There's times that happens, but this is where it goes. It begins to come out and becomes a scoffer. B, only God sees the heart, and the evil thoughts are an abomination to him. I'm going to say this about God. God knows what's in your heart, and just the thought, all these things are an abomination to God. But number one, but when the mischievous person begins to become the scorner, they also become an abomination to men also. That's what it says there again in verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So in other words, God knows what's in our heart, and it's an abomination to him. But when it gets out of our mouth, now we become an abomination to all men. If the scorner is an abomination to men who are also impure in thought, right? How detestable we must become to him that sees the evil of our heart. I mean, if we become an abomination by the scoffing we do, you say, what is an abomination of scoffing look like? It's the abomination of men from a scoffer. It becomes this kind of thing of the kind of person you don't want to be around. You're the kind of person you do not want to get in a conversation with. You know, if I start to talk to them, they're going to have something they're going to attack. They're going to scoff. They're going to be against something because there's so much evil thoughts that it's going to come out. And so you know what? They become an abomination to men, something we keep away. Now, let me say this on the other side. When people want to avoid us, maybe we've got some of that scoffing, harshness. So I'm just kidding. Folks, I want to encourage you this. Think about this. Try to avoid that phrase because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help. If I say, Brother John, he's just dumb, stupid, this, I'm just kidding. That doesn't actually, he's kidding. Okay, now I feel better. It doesn't really do that for us, does it? If somebody throws the "I'm kidding" at the end, it doesn't take away the dagger they just stuck in our soul, right? And so don't use it. Instead, probably here's another one. When we've realized I've just done that, I'm sorry. What was in got out, and I need to fix what's in. I don't know how much we need to go to, but just make it right instead of trying to cover it with other foolishness, right? So that's just an encouragement on that thing. Look here, let's look at the last thing. Number four, the power of revival. The power of revival. So A, if the mind is the place of the power of sin, it is also where we can begin to have power over sin. Turn with me, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians. I want us to look at this thing. Listen, it's not all negative tonight. It's not all bad. I want to give you some good here, all right? I want to give you I hate looking at how sinful we are because it's so easy to do and it kind of hurts. It kind of hurts when we realize how sinful we are and how wicked we are. But I want to give us some tools here that God's given us here, the tool of how to have power over that sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 5, he says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, several things here. Three things. Okay, number one, bring into captivity every what? Thought. Bring into captivity, it's what it says at the end of verse 5. Bring into captivity every thought, okay? So, that idea of captivity under there, A, it's to take it, being the thought, as a prisoner. Do not let your thoughts be your captor. Capture them. Okay, here it is. Here's the imagery that this phrase gives. The imagery is of taking a spear and prodding it along, saying, no, come on, buddy, you're out of here, right? You kind of see that in movies. I don't know why old movies, everyone has a spear. And there's like three guys with spears, and the people behind them are like, okay, go. It's like, man, just knock the spear down and fight. Anyway, but it's just movies. So, but you see this spear, but kind of gives us this is the idea of getting this thought in captivity. Like, as soon as it pops in that you realize it's there, say, no, sir. No, ma'am, you're getting out of my head. I'm not going to allow you to have any space here and control my thinking and how I might think about other people. I'm going to deal with it in my head before I can even think about getting out my lips. That's how I stopped cussing. That's how I learned to stop cussing when I got saved. I didn't get saved and I was a sanctified, set apart, Air Force guy in a maintenance phase doc. I started as a lost person that that talked about all the same thing all the other lost people said. And so when I got saved, I didn't want to do that anymore. But man, I'm telling you, just, and I realized, and I don't think I realized, I think it was her preaching and God, the Lord used these things in my head. And I thought, you know what? When it gets in my head, because you know what I did? I let those things kind of rattle around a little bit. And the reason I can say we enjoy it, because I know we kind of enjoy thinking about that. Why do we enjoy sin? I don't know. The human nature. That'll sin nature. And so what I realized, if I could say as soon as that image, I can't be guilty for what gets popped into my head, but I am guilty for what I deal with it. So I'm going to get that thing out of there. So I'm going to bring it in captivity with the spear. That's kind of the idea here, this bringing it in captivity as a prisoner. Number two is this. He also says this, we're to cast down those thoughts. Cast down. That's the word, the blanket number two. We're to cast down those thoughts. As if to tear down a forest is the imagery here. To tear out those thoughts from our own mind, this cast down, it kind of gives the idea of what you do is you destroy, like you're going through and destroying a forest. I'm going to take it with a, you ever see one of those big bulldozers that just drives through and destroys this thing and goes through and eats it up? They have these things now that's a big clamp. You watch how they do logging today. A guy sits in a machine, he puts some straps around it, cuts it this way and chops it up. It's kind of cool. I've seen some videos on it. It looks pretty cool. Probably multi-million-dollar machines, but you can cut down a tree without touching it. But no, this is what we're talking about. He says this thing. What he's talking about here is this casting down. It's to go through and rip these things out of your head. Not going to have any place in here. Number three, he says this thing, and every high thing that it exalteth itself. So these thoughts, these become barriers as like high walls to stop us. So these walls, these things come up in our life to stop us from thinking like Christ, because we have all this other stuff in there. And you ever seen somebody who's been a Christian for a long time and they know things of God, but they always seem to have this sharpness? You know what I'm saying? Just kind of a sharpness in their tongue. They have kind of just some wrong thinking. Just some, like, why would you, you kind of look at them like they've been in church all their life. Like, you know what I'm saying? And they'll use some B-level cuss words. I'm not talking about like the four-letter ones, but like other ones that are like, that's still kind of like, huh. You know what I mean? Maybe some of those have four letters. I don't know. But the kind of things that you hear them and you know, you're like, oh, that's not good. But they'll use that. You're like, how would somebody have been in church all their life? And I'll see people like that. Good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptists that are just like super conservative. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, why? Because what happens is we let these barriers. Listen, I'm talking about these things, these things that are high, these that exalt themselves. Every high thing that it exalted itself, it says there in verse 5, against the knowledge of God. There's things that have built up. He said, listen, tear down them walls, right? Like Ronald Reagan said. Some of y'all remember. But this is, he said, tear down this stuff, get these thoughts out so you can move forward. B, these thoughts will cause us to be opposed to God, because what they are against is the knowledge of God. And I'm telling you, we get back to the same stuff. So I don't think it's a big deal. Man, it's a big deal to God. B, the battle for righteousness personally begins in our thoughts, folks. That's where it begins. It's not, if we try to work on what we do, we fail. I'm telling you. We can't do it very long. But if we start up here in our head, last thing, number one, do not wait for the battle to be half over before we begin to engage. I'm telling you, if you wait till you're already doing stuff, yeah, you're going to lose that. You understand what I'm saying? If you wait till you're already past angry, and now you're into acting it out, too late. Stuff's going to come out, and you're going to be like, wow, I didn't mean to say that. You can't put it back in. Don't you wish you could? Don't you say had a rewind button, but we don't. So, but instead of having a rewind button, we have a destruction button. It starts by thinking, getting that stuff out. God gives us a plan. He said, listen, if we get a hold of this truth, I think this will help us right here. right here, this one thing, what we already talked about, I think it's the greatest thing to help us, is this. Thoughts of evil absolutely are sin already. Already sin. So before it comes out to an action, God, I want to get right with it while it's still in here. Because if I get right with it and it's in here, I'm going to offend a lot less people. Because I need to get right with you. But after I've got out, now I've got to get right with you, and I got to get right with them and all the other people, the other them. And sometimes when you hurt somebody, other people are hurt. Man, that's hard to undo. I told you to stop. Man, this is an awesome thing. If we can get this under control, why are there people that can really live godly in Christ Jesus? What is their secret? I just gave it to you tonight. Let's all stand. Father, I do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your truth. Lord, you give us these tools to help us to live this life in a way that we could have victory. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that we might really, Lord, get all of these thoughts, control over them and destroy them, rip these things out of our heart and our mind, that we might have place to live for you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for caring enough about us to give us an opportunity to have a life that would please you and that would bring, really, would bring joy and happiness to us, Lord. Thank you for it now. I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.